I added it up. I think we've spent like almost 14 weeks on this. And the thing about 1 Corinthians is it's kind of a tough letter. It's kind of a tough letter because the Corinthians church had kind of gone off the rails. And Paul's entire letter, 1 Corinthians anyway, is to kind of correct them and get them back on track. And as he's moved along, he's gotten a little bit softer, but he's still trying to get them to be what they want to be. Now, I have had the experience when I first became a believer of having, I actually read through the Bible cover to cover 3 times in 1 year. And you're going, okay. So, see, I thought that was a really good thing. If I read it and then I read it again, then I read it again, I would really know what was in there. Now I'm a Christian 20 years now, and the funny thing is, every time I go back and really read a section of Scripture, I find out, oh my gosh, there was a lot of stuff in there that I didn't catch the first time. So as I was preparing for this, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I was trying to figure out, well, this is sort of the wrap-up of the chapter, and he's got some greetings and all that. I said, I'm not sure how we're going to make a whole lesson on that until I actually read it. And there's some really, really good stuff in there. If Paul's goal and task in this letter was to get the church to come together and be the church that God wants them to be, then the 16th chapter of Corinthians is sort of a summary. I've called this sermon the call to be the church. And when I studied this and got ready to talk about it, I thought, wow, this is perfect. Because we're coming up on, Kelly and I, at the end of this month, well, September 1st, let's put it that way, September 1st, we will be here 5 years. And if you've been here that whole time, you'll know that Pastor has kind of a broken record. He wants us to be the church that God wants us to be. He wants us to be a church that's to be about God's business. And over again, that's kind of what I talk about. So in this 16th chapter, Paul kind of pulls it all together and says, now, I've told you all of this stuff on how to behave. Now, let me kind of wrap it up for you and put a ribbon around it. He wraps up this instructive mentoring letter to this wayward and lost congregation. He wants to conclude with some final guidance on how to be a loving church family. In our last chapter, Paul's message was consistently that since Jesus is alive, remember the whole thing about the resurrection? Since Jesus is alive, his followers should be motivated to become involved in ministry. Now, doesn't mean you have to be a minister. When you minister to God's people and when you minister to the lost, then you're in ministry. That's why when I saw these bags over there and I thought, wow, that's ministry. So that's what he wants to do here. If you go back, we may be waiting for the end, but we shouldn't be, but we should be working now. At the end of the last chapter, Paul said this, therefore, my beloved, this is the very end of chapter 15, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So as we go into chapter 16, keep that in the back of your mind. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you instruct us, you give us guidance, you give us things that we should be doing. Father, I pray that today you will give us the motivation, not just to do a list of things, but to be a church that would be pleasing to you. Open our hearts and our minds today, Lord, that we might see the picture that you have for your church, and that we might conform ourselves more to that image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So look at what it says up there. Be immovable, always abounding. What does that mean? Be immovable. If you are a Christian in this today's culture, it is tough to be immovable. What that means in practice? What that means in practice is I am a Christian and this is what I believe. But the culture doesn't accept that. Well, I'm a Christian. This is what I believe. And you have to stand on that. And if someone calls you names and they call you a racist and a bigot and you know the list, it's on the news all the time. Your response is not, oh, no, I'm not. Your response is, but I'm a Christian, and this is what I believe. Whatever you're being chastised about. It's not, no, I don't hate you. I'm a Christian and this is what I believe. You may believe something else. I don't hate you because you believe something else. See, that's what they do to us. If we don't believe what they believe or champion what they believe, then we're haters. It's not the case. If we disagree with them, if they are doing things that we believe contradict the Word of God, our position is simply, we love you because the Bible tells us to love our enemies and to love people. However, I'm a Christian. This is what I believe. That's what immovable means. And it says, always abounding in the works of the Lord. What does that mean? There's always got to be something that you're doing to move the kingdom forward. There is no time out. There is no vacation. There is no sabbatical from being a Christian. There needs to be something that you're doing. Now, if you have the discipline, which I don't, to always find something to do repeatedly, that's fine. But really what we need to do is find a thing that we're responsible for in the kingdom of God, that and hold our own feet to the fire, that we're doing that's getting done. Little things like showing up. That's a good start, isn't it? If you're here, by the way, I'm obviously preaching to the choir, but you see what I mean? The high five thing, the idea that you get a random call from somebody in the church that just says, hi, we missed you. It's powerful. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, well, thanks for calling me. You know, I was on vacation. I go, well, that's fine. We just missed you and just calling to see how you're doing. That's what the high five is. If you're not doing anything else in this church, have a list of five people that you care about. And if you don't see them, call them. That's what high five is. And if everybody in this church called the people who weren't here and they got multiple calls from different people, you know, when I first started this, that was one of the questions. Well, if I pick these five people and those people pick five and some of them are duplicates, I go, yeah, good. So now I get three phone calls saying, hey, we missed you. How are you doing? What's going on? That's what that means. There always be abounding in the works of ministry. I saw the bags there. It's not our church. It's not our thing. Kelly and I are going to do two bags. If you want to go do two bags, great. I'll never know if you do it or not. Always be abounding in the works of the kingdom. What are you doing? Always be, because the Bible says, Paul says at the end of the last chapter, your labor is not in vain. Now, you may not have anybody say, wow, thanks, you did a great job. Hopefully we recognize you folks when you do stuff. But you may never get notice for any of that stuff. But wait, that's not true. If you're abounding in the ministry of the kingdom of God, you're always getting noticed. You're always getting noticed by the person who counts. And if your friends and your fellow Christians actually notice you too, hey, that's great. But remember, if you take nothing away from today's sermon, I want you to remember this one phrase. You are only working for an audience of one. You get what I'm saying? You are only working for an audience of one. Everything you do in the name of the Lord, everything you do to abound in ministry is to please one individual. Now, if it pleases other people, great. But as long as it pleases the one person, you're in good shape. You only have an audience of one to remember. So Paul sets up this stage. This is all the corrective letters and all that. But now he gets into this thing about, we're going to use the analogy of a ship, okay? Some are sitting back waiting for their ship to come in. You ever heard that one? Oh, I'm just waiting for my ship. I'm not doing anything right now, but I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Actually, that would mean like, well, I'm waiting for a more convenient time. Well, the critical news is your ship's already come in. Your ship's already coming in. You just need to get on board. So what ship are we talking about? Go to the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we read in the first four verses this. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also are to do. Now listen to what he says. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable, I should go also. They will accompany me. This, for the New Testament Christian, is where the idea of your tithe comes in. Now, Paul's talking specifically. He's going to be heading to Jerusalem pretty soon. He's making a sweep through the churches that he's visited. And he's telling the Corinthians, I'm going to be coming by pretty soon. And I really would like every week when you come in, stick a little aside. So when I come, I can take that money and I can take it to Jerusalem. You know, sometimes people refer to the church today as the New Jerusalem. Now that's a whole theological thing, but that's not what I'm talking about. If the church is the bride of Christ, and if Paul is saying we should set aside some of our resources, you notice it says, as you prosper, so that I can take it to Jerusalem, I would submit to you that this idea of giving has the same connotation. In addition to your ministry that you do, the ship needs to stay afloat.